Well, for months now, the increasingly destructive impact of wildfire sweeping through Australia has been making global news.
Tonight, the historic wildfires raging in Australia, taking a devastating toll on many of its most famous citizens. You can hear this koala's haunting screams. Good Samaritans rushing into the smoldering brush, rescuing the singed and stunned marsupials.
I knew if we didn't get him down from the tree, then he would have been up there amongst the flames.
Now, a desperate fight to nurse the injured survivors back to health.
He's got a long road in front of him if he can survive.
Tonight, donations are pouring in from around the world to help those...
Since July of last year, large swathes of the country have been destroyed and the worst fire seen in decades. There have been fires in every Australian state, with New South Wales being the hardest hit. The human death toll has risen to over 30 and more than 2,000 homes have been destroyed or damaged. As firefighters continue to struggle to contain the massive blazes, the cost to wildlife and the natural world is also being counted. Australia is one of the great biodiversity spots in the world. The continent was isolated for millions of years, allowing species to evolve in unique ways with minimal human influence until relatively recently. Before the fires, its diversity was already threatened due to invasive species, habitat destruction and climate change. Now, ecologists fear severe ecological consequences from so much land being burned at once. What you're listening to is the mating call of a koala on Kangaroo Island, up to half of which has been on fire. We're joined now on the line from Queensland by Gabriel Crowley of the Centre of Biodiversity and Conservation Science at the University of Queensland in Brisbane. Gabriel has been studying the impact of the fires on Kangaroo Island. I suppose before we start, Gabriel, we should really remember the tragic loss of human life in these fires.
Yes, there's a lot of people who are really putting their life on the line, helping fight these fires. I believe now that the three people who died in that plane crash were among 30 or more people who have been killed in the fires so far this year. Very unexpected. The people who fly those planes are professionals. They do an amazing job, and it just shows what difficult circumstances that they're operating under.
Gabriel, these bushfires are regarded by the fire services as the worst bushfire season in memory. Can you describe just how devastating the scene has been?
There's been fires and quite severe fires in Australia, as long as we know, but they've never been so widespread and they've never started so early and had such a long fire season. We're not even through the fire season yet. We've got really another 2 months to go. Where the fires have burnt, they've often left nothing more than charred trunks. The ground just is a wasteland between them. You've probably seen footage of these fires in Ireland. I know they've been broadcast around the world. It really is quite devastating, and in places there is just nothing left living.
Well, you're studying the impact, as I said, of the fires on Kangaroo Island. I've been there myself many years ago, and beautiful island it is, and one of the only places in the world where I think you can find the echidna and the duck-billed platypus in one place. What impact is it having on the animals of Kangaroo Island, and in particular on the koala population?
The fires have burnt half of the island, and most of that is in the native bushland. So, of course, that's where most of the wildlife live. The koala population in particular has been reduced enormously. Well over half the population of koalas on the island have lost their habitat, and many of those will have been killed.
And apart from the ones that have been killed, the ones left behind fare no better, as we heard in that report, horrendous burns.
That's right. They've set up clinics to look after them, and they're, as well as the professional wildlife people on the island, I know there are lots of volunteers, and even members of the army going and helping to nurse those koalas, and some of the burns are quite horrendous.
These koalas were introduced to Kangaroo Island for a particular reason, because there's a disease among the koalas in Australia in general, chlamydia, which is a debilitating disease. But the ones that were brought then to Kangaroo Island were disease-free. And now they're the only disease-free ones that are in Australia, and half of them have been killed by these terrible fires. So it's a double whammy. It's not so much that koalas are extinct in the whole of Australia or under threat. It's that these disease-free ones that you were specially minding and breeding for this purpose or having a habitat for them, that this has been destroyed.
That's right. The original population that was brought to Kangaroo Island was actually from a small population that had been introduced to another island, French Island in Victoria, and then 17 koalas were taken from French Island onto Kangaroo Island. Both islands have been affected by widespread bushfires, and both islands, I believe, are free of the disease. The populations of koalas on these two islands really have been seen as very important for their conservation.
But you're also concerned about the Dunart and the glossy black cockatoo. Can you outline your concerns?
The glossy black cockatoo is a large black cockatoo. It's a beautiful bird, very charismatic. It stands about 40 centimetres high, and there are glossy black cockatoos through eastern Australia, but the subspecies on Kangaroo Island is not found anywhere else. It used to be on the mainland, but with all the vegetation clearance on the mainland, it is now only found on Kangaroo Island. It's very unique because it's one of the few species of birds that only feeds on a single food source, which is the seed of the drooping she-oak. And because of feeding on this food source, It's really tied to its habitat.
Of course.
And also the food source isn't as energy rich as some other food sources that cockatoos feed on. So it only lays one egg, and once it raises a chick, it is generally at least 2 years before it can get enough food and energy to raise a second one. So it breeds very, very slowly, and when its population is hit by something like the bushfires, it has a very slow capacity to recover.
We've heard that more than 1 billion animals may have perished in these fires. Now, at this point, what's your assessment as to which species may be driven to extinction by the fires?
I work on individual species, and it's been hard to keep track of all the information coming out. We're certainly worried about species that have very small distributions or have specific habitat requirements in the forested areas, because it's largely been moist forests that have been burnt in these fires. On Kangaroo Island, there are many species that will be affected, but the species that you mentioned, the Kangaroo Island Dunart, which is a small marsupial carnivore, and the glossy black cockatoo, their distributions are very restricted and have largely been burnt. So it's those types of species that are very restricted in distribution and habitat use that we are most worried about.
Gabriel, fires are normal in Australia, forest fires. They're strange things to us because we don't have forest fires. But when we think of Australia, we have to realise that this is part of the ecosystem in a way. Now, you have these countless animals there for millennia. They must surely have evolved defences against this kind of thing, ways they can cope, things they can do when they see smoke in the distance or whatever. You take the famous tsunami, St. Stephen's Day tsunami, it killed a great many people. But wildlife managed to evade it almost completely, or so they tell us, because the wildlife was geared to deal with this kind of disaster. Why is it that Australian wildlife doesn't seem to be able to deal with this disaster?
We've just never had fires that are so extensive. So a lot of the species that are adapted to fire will shelter in areas that escape burning, small patches of vegetation that might be along a stream side or just in an area where the fuel load wasn't very high. So in most cases, these types of species will hang on in very small areas and then breed up and recolonise the unburnt areas as those areas regrow. But when you get really widespread fires that are so severe, there just aren't the places for them to hide in, to recover. Now, we have been lucky with the Dunnart, partly because where the fire started was actually right inside an area of Dunnart habitat. So when the fire started there, it hadn't built up to a high intensity. It was quite patchy, and they have now found Dunnarts in that area, in the pieces of bush that have managed to hang on. And, of course, the glossy black cockatoos could fly away. So we're hopeful that those animals will survive the fire. What might be more difficult, particularly for the cockatoo, is finding food with so much of their habitat being destroyed.
When it's all over, if it is ever all over, I mean, is there any expectation that these fires will stop soon? And then when they do stop, how long will it take for the habitats to regenerate?
Well, our typical fire season really is February and March. So we could have another 2 months of these conditions. And we've been having, right down the east coast of Australia, we've been having very severe thunderstorms. So if we keep having these conditions, we will have more fires. For the habitat to recover enough to support the animals again will depend on the species. So with the Dunnart, it could be quite quick. It could be within a couple of years. Because the glossy black cockatoo feeds on seeds from mature trees, it could take a decade. And that's got to be a decade in which we don't have a repeat of these extreme fire conditions.
Before we finish, I want to take you back to the beginning. I said that I had been on Kangaroo Island, and I remembered a poem I learned when I was going out there for the programme we were making by a humorist and a poet by the name of Ogden Nash. And he said, "I like the duck-billed platypus because it is anomalous. I like the way it raises its family, partly birdly, partly mammally." And I'm sure most of us have seen pictures of a duck-billed platypus. If you haven't, look them up online, show them to the kids. They're extraordinary looking creatures, they really are, along with the echidna, which I had mentioned earlier. What I'm wondering, Gabriel, is how are they going to manage in these fires?
It's quite hard to know, because getting out to the areas where the platypus lived is quite dangerous. Those areas have not been surveyed yet. But as they live in riverbanks and can hide down burrows, they're unlikely to have been badly affected. What's more likely to be a problem is the drought conditions that will have dried up quite a few of those water holes. But I'd be quite hopeful that the platypus on Kangaroo Island will not be too badly affected. In other areas, we really are worried about the pollution of the waterways, which is occurring with the heavy rain following the fires, with a lot of soil and ash washing into the waterways. And that's particularly the case in the steep catchments of the eastern coast of Australia.
And the echidna, this creature which looks like a hedgehog but isn't. I mean, you could be driving along the road around Kangaroo Island, this thing just appears in front of you. It's a very large creature.
Yes, echidnas will burrow down into the ground, and there have been reports of singed spines on the echidnas. But again, if the fire is very intense, it would be very hard for them to escape. It's going to be over the next 12 months, we'll have to get out there and survey these areas and just do an assessment of what has been affected. And certainly the estimates of over a billion animals Australia-wide being killed is very alarming, but more alarming in some ways is the fact that the ones that have survived might not have habitat to live in really for the next couple of years at least.
Well, Gabriel, our thoughts are with you and the people of Australia. So thank you very much indeed for taking the time to speak with us today. You can find more information on our website, which is rte.ie/Mooney.